Well, I guess I don't get introduced like downstairs, but I'll go ahead and start. Today I'm going to be looking at pitch FX data and how it relates to predicting pitcher injuries. From what I found when I first started is I was interested in injuries, and I was just amazed about 4 or 5 years ago we did not have any injury databases. So initially, Fangraphs paid me, created one for them, and since then I've actually been able to put out, and it's freely available. People have the injury data from 2010 on, and I've just taken it from the MLB transactions. MLB puts it out, I'm not digging anymore, and it's just whoever they've come on, and that's what a lot of the stuff I've used. With pitcher injuries, though, there have been some people that have done some good work. Josh Kalk did. He disappeared at the Tampa Bay Rays. Doing good work there now. Kyle Boddy, he has done some stuff with Injury Zone. All this work was done at the Hall of Times, and just about a week ago, Noah Woodward did the same type of stuff, and they were able to find some injury information. Over at Baseball Prospectus, Russell Carlton did some great work on finding it, what relates to pitcher injuries. Is it workload or whatever? And easy enough, previous injuries were the number one key. There has been some other work here and there, but what I've found is there just is nothing being done. And the one thing is the hardest is there's just not very good information. It's teams don't want to give it out. If anyone went to the panel the other day, it's just a little bit tougher to find. It's kind of monotonous. Even I wrote an article Thursday going through it, and I think I had 400 pieces of articles that had mentioned some kind of injury and like the extent of it and could they pitch or whatever. So it's just kind of a tedious thing, and I can see why some people don't want to do it. Begin with the pitcher injuries. Up there I say pitching is unnatural. Now it's more like pitching at the major league level is unnatural. Throwing 100 miles an hour, throwing nasty breaking balls. Arms just aren't able to do it. Mine can't do it. It's, like I said, pitchers will eventually break down, and using the pitch FX information, we can hopefully find some of this. Moving on to using pitch FX information, it's far from an exact science. I will see someone that will look like it. Lucas Harrell, we'll kind of bring him up later, he had every indication of being a hurt pitcher. Couldn't find the strike zone, lost like 4 miles an hour, pitched through the whole season, didn't do a great job, but he was able to do it. And then Matt Harvey pretty much had no indications. He did throw a little bit hard, that might be possibly one problem with him, but he wasn't hurt. And then the one item that I find the hardest is I don't have the medical information. Not with the team. Almost everything I find is post-date. It was like after the season was over, I got some really good information from people saying, hey, I was hurt. You know, this is why I pitched bad. And that's how I was able to make some changes. So for using pitch FX information, I've got two different ways I'll look at it. The one is long-term, and the other one is short-term. The long-term stuff, looking at like velocity trends and zone percentages, I'll go into later. And in short term, what happens during the game? Is there some events during a game that make a pitcher more or less likely to have injuries? And then there's also the combo job, which they have something that happens during a game, and then they just have to keep pitching over it. So it happened during the game, and then it affects them over the rest of the season. So it's not like an immediate break where someone has to have Tommy John surgery during a game. But they tweak their back, they tweak something else, and they still try to pitch through it later. So when I look at long-term indications, the first one's velocity. Is a pitcher throwing slower? It's kind of a simple one. They've weakened themselves, they're just not throwing as hard. It's tracked. And the other one, there was a quote that I went and looked from Billy Beane, that he's like, strikes throwers, people are able to completely reproduce their pitches, reproduce their throws, are less injury prone. Well, when I started looking at it, it wasn't the case that strike throwers were such a deal as on that end as the other end where guys that couldn't throw strikes were the ones that were more injury prone. They had a higher injury rate, close to 20-25% more. So between the two that I've always tracked and starting to do that on a normal basis, I have found that when pitchers change their zone percentage, that's more of an indication that they'll end up hurt than if actually they're throwing less. or less velocity. So it's like really more of the change is with that. So let's go into some. For long-term picture ones, is I actually created a pain index that at 100 means it's the indications of a hurt picture. I went back and looked at pictures that hurt, looked to see how much they dropped, and correlated it. So it compares their current velocity and zone percentage to some set of another set of values. The one things I found when I created pain last year was that pitchers change fast, and I'll show this later on, is that once they break down, it seems to be fairly quick. So you need to kind of not look at last season, but you might need to compare what they did just a month before. It's kind of a quick comparison because once they start going downhill, something bad can happen rather quickly. And that kind of goes on to the next one where I mentioned that pitchers aren't really gritty. It's like once they have something go wrong, the team's going to take them out. The way Albert Pujols could barely walk the first base, how they were taking him out last year, putting him out in the field, that's not going to happen with a pitcher where they can barely walk to the mound. They're going to stop that. He's not going to be able to pitch. They're going to move on. So at the bottom here, I've got some examples of some pitchers that I compared. These numbers were just comparing not 2002 to 2013. And with Lucas Harrell, his velocity actually stayed pretty close, but he was able. His difference in like the number of pitches in the zone went from 50% to 40%. And if you look even further down to number 8, it's like Felix Hernandez. He kind of picks up on this where he lost 1 mile an hour, and he also was throwing balls in the strike zone about 3% less of the time. So this is kind of what the output would look like when I put it out during the season, and just comparing what the two different ones are, and it helps me as a person and can help other people kind of look at pitchers that are hurt or maybe. It's just kind of an indication between the two of them. So let's go on and look at a couple pitchers here. Here is Yu Darvish, and as he mentioned, he was dealing with inflammation. I got this information at the end of the season, and it's back for the last few weeks. So let me get my pointer. And maybe not. But as you can tell toward the end of the graph, you can see where his velocity, which is the top graph, started coming down. He was hurt during that time, and also his zone percentage, the number of strikes he was throwing in the zone, also started dropping right at the end of the season. And with my pain values, you can see they were fairly low, even negative, seemed to be fairly healthy. But then in the month of September, they jumped up quite a bit. So he kind of had a baseline, and then all of a sudden, yeah, he's having some issues. He lost velocity, and the reason was because his back was hurting. Tony Cigrani just read this a couple weeks ago, that he was also dealing with back injuries, and he didn't tell the team. So as you can tell, again, he had a peak velocity. It starts dropping off. Also, his zone percentage started dropping off. And it should have been an indication to the team that there's probably something wrong. They need to look into this. And like I said, just as an outside observer, we have no idea. A player could be experiencing just changing actually his motions with the team. It could be something team-induced. It's just something we don't know as a fan, but maybe it's something that the team has actually told the player to actually do. So the next item that you can look at for injury indications are short-term stuff. And a lot of this stuff was done, Mike Fast did a lot of work on this right before he got the Houston Astros picked him up. And the items that we're finding, and there's also with the injury zone stuff that I mentioned earlier, was in decline in in-game velocity. And a lot of times you have to look at the decline they had compared to what they previously had. Some pitchers just normally decline like 3 miles an hour. Some stay steady the whole time. You just have to, compare the velocity drop. And then the other thing is the release point consistency. Are they able to maintain the same release point throughout the game? Are they able to keep throwing the same motion? Can they keep throwing the same way? So using that data and with some logistic regression on my website, baseballheatmax.com, I have the late game consistency. So it looks at how much their velocity is consistent and how much their release point is consistent late in the game to see if they're having issues. So let's look like Alexei Gando. his, you can look at his release point where he's kind of got a difference, almost like a foot up and down in different directions, and then his velocity just drops off. And both of these were taken at the point where the 260s are. They came up the 260 days earlier on, and he went on the DL, or was rested one time, and the other time he went on the DL. But he really had problems, and last year he had sold, went on the DL three times, just really wasn't able to maintain a consistent release point. He wasn't able to maintain any kind of consistent velocity. So he was a, it was kind of an indication that something was wrong, and obviously it was, since he went on the DL a few times. Another person was Felipe Paulino. Now the graph goes from 2011 to 2012 until he went on the DL. So if you start off on the release point graph on the top, that was the first game in 2011. Nice tight release point, he's throwing good. And the bottom one is right before he went on the DL, where he has a nice spread pattern and everything. And you can see where his late game consistency just keep working its way up. He was really consistent earlier on in his career. And then early on in the season, and then as it went on, he just kept peaking up and he kept having more problems. And the bottom graph is where I actually measure the vertical and then the total change in the release points. And you can see where just right at the end, he just had no problem, no way to be able to maintain his release points. And with all these, those were nice graphs. Most of the time, it's just not nice. Trying to work on it, that there's just no indication of an injury. It's just something snaps, they're done. It's, like I said, there's just nothing that shows up. And my other problem when I first found this is that, like, Bruce Chen and Broxton Arroyo, anyone that has two different release point locations, totally looks broke also. So that's kind of, we'll go into those where it's just like, you would have to go through and actually delete each release point, all the data from those two points to actually see if they're actually changing quite a bit. And then the other thing I found is some people just are a little bit wilder. Ken Lincecum kind of has a baseline that looks like he's hurt, but it doesn't vary much. And this is one area where I really think I need to work on, is seeing a change in one player's consistency over time is more of a percentage change instead of comparing to other players. I think there needs to be some interplayer looking at the same player's consistency over time. So this was Matt Harvey the day before he was out for Tommy John surgery. If you look at the top graph on the left, his velocity was rather consistent throughout the game. The graph underneath it was his release point. He had some variability to it. He was getting up on his curves. And that's one thing I found out is if any player is kind of has some consistency issues, they're usually trying to get on top of their curveball. And it may not be something you want to look at for an injury. Because, like I said, they'll really try to get up and try to get more spin on it. So a lot of times I'll even kind of remove that from the tool I use, because I don't want to see those curveballs. And a lot of times I won't even look at that part of the release point. But if you look at the top graph on the right, his late game consistency was perfect over time. He was basically throwing the same percentage. He did show some velocity drop, but it was, the one thing is that it was some work from like Bill Petty and other ones, it doesn't concern me as much. His pitchers throw slower earlier in the season. In the middle, they come up, and as he gets colder, that goes back down. It's kind of a weather type of thing. So he still wasn't even throwing as slow as when he started the season. Like I said, it was coming down, but there just really wasn't a lot of indications for an injury with Matt Harvey. And now we have Bruce Chen. If you look up at the left, there's his late game consistency. Looks broke. He's breaking 100%. None of the other ones were there. His release points were all over the place, a lot of things. But you can see where he has two tight groupings, where he has his two different release points for the different types of hitters. So that's one of the things, if you try to computerize it, not look at each individual player, it will show up some players as being hurt and some not. So, moving on, what's next for looking at this stuff? As Graham talked about earlier today, biomechanics is one. Can we know, can teams know if players are throwing the exact same way? Why is the release point changing? It's a way of probably finding out what is happening. Online, it's like something, using just PitchFX information, you know something has changed. You're not for sure if they're landing too early, how they've adjusted the actual bodies. You can go back and look at the video, but with biomechanics, it would be a lot easier. The second point there is really the harder throwing pitchers get hurt more often. It's just that way. And you just see it time after time, and it's like with Strasburg, Harvey, all these guys that throw in hard, their injury rates end up higher and higher, and I think we'll see that more and more as players are hitting that max. They're just not able to be able to throw that hard. Verlander is the one exception. There's always going to be an exception that can keep doing it, but as a rule, most of these guys throw hard, seem to break down a lot faster, or they just start throwing slower. They're not able to just keep throwing hard forever. The other point I would really like to get moved into is, it's almost more with the mechanics data, is getting some scouting information on how consistent is this guy's delivery from the eye, and actually lining up the eye consistency data with what we're seeing numerically. Like, he's able to maintain the same consistency, he's able to keep it over time. And I used the scouting values that Doug Thorburn put out in the 2014 pitching guide, and at the top you see Cliff Lee, top consistency. He throws a really tight release point. He's in the strike zone 60% of the time. If you go down to Bud Norris, horrible consistency rating from the scouting perspective, three times the walk rate, and in the zone 10% less. So I think there could be some great work done on that, where you can combine the two scoutings, combine the pitch FX, and be able to see which pitchers may be able are more consistent, or and does that consistency lead to injuries or not. On that also, that the one item that it's really tough to figure out is a lot of times with the inconsistent release point, did an injury cause them to be inconsistent and not be able to hit the strike zone? Or was it initially their inconsistency that led to the injury? It's kind of a chicken and egg thing. Which one actually came first, the injury or the inconsistency, or the inconsistency or the injury? So, and a lot of times, like, without detailed information from the player, it's really tough for someone like myself to find out. So as I flew through that, I'd like to thank everyone. And if anyone has any questions, just go ahead. Right here in the front.
So a bunch of the factors, like decrease in velocity, change in release angles, and there's one other that I can't think of, percentage of, or being able to hit the strike zone. A lot of those factors are also things that show up with fatigue. So how would you separate fatigue from injury and the data that come along with each?
You mean like throughout a game?
Yeah.
A lot of times it's getting the player's baseline. Okay. It's one thing. It's just look at the player. I should have had some graph of some player where it's like, here was his original baseline. If you go back to the... Oh, where's Matt Harvey? I'm not too far. Is if you look at his strikes going across, he's throwing pretty much the same mile an hour. It's a little bit of a difference between innings, but he's able to at least maintain a velocity. You saw that kind of go down over a game, and they did. You know, he was starting to slow down. It'd be more of an indication. That was the one thing I actually look at, is trying to, on this late game consistency, as I compare one game to the next. It's a kind of a coding nightmare, but that's what I ended up trying to do, is look at that.
And a small follow up, like, what about fatigue throughout the season? So he just overworked and not injured per se.
I have, I don't know what's going on here. So, that is definitely, and it could be injury. Is it fatigued? I don't know. And it's like, I think it's something more of a team has to know. Do they need to ask the player? Almost every one I've looked at is I have to reverse engineer everything. Someone has to say they had an injury, go back and look to see what happened. We know who has Tommy John. We really know the guys that have major surgeries, but we don't know the guys that are pitching through them. And it's just kind of a tough thing to kind of figure out. Anyone else? Right here.
How do you differentiate between injury and just getting old?
It's pretty much the same thing with pitchers. It's I've done some work on the aging curves. Velocity will stays steady, but pretty much it just goes down after a few, 4 or 5 years, and start heading down. The that's why a lot of times I like to use the zone percentage. Are they still throwing strikes? Are they able to, like King Felix, if you look at his numbers, he's dropped 5 miles an hour. Still a great pitcher. He's still able to throw the strike zone. He's still able to throw strikes. Tim Lincecum, he's down not as much. He's still down quite a bit, but he's just not as a consistent pitcher and is not able to pitch, and he's having more of an issue because of it. Anyone else?
Now, when you've been looking at this, has it been all pitches, or have you tried experimenting and breaking it down to see if the fastball is a better indicator, curve, or?
It's mainly, I'm sorry, I didn't mention that. A lot of times I just look at the fastballs I try to look whatever they throw the most, and on my website you can just click whichever one it is. And one of the other issues is sometimes the classifications aren't perfect. So you kind of have to go back and look at that to make sure something didn't get misclassified or classified differently. You might have to go back and actually change the database just to make sure it's right. Back over there.
So in terms of relief pitchers, how would you go about it for them, given that they're typically relievers because of mechanical deficiencies?
I have not started. It's kind of need just a base set of data. I did have Sigourney. Some of his were relief appearances. Just ran the data the other day. It's like 20% of relief pitchers during the season. We'll probably go on the DL the next year. But I have just not gotten a long frame with that. It's kind of because they just have a short stint. I mean, someone will throw five pitches, and it's really tough to get any kind of good baseline information with them. I'm akin to it. If you actually, just give me a second to go back. On this list right here, Jonathan Broxton was one, and he ended up for, I think he, was he not? No, sorry. He was, when I first ran it, he was just totally hanging him like 300 or something like that. He was just breaking down. So it picked him up right away as a player that was possibly that way. Usually the pain one is probably my best one to find that. They're not able to throw strikes and be able to get enough information over the season.
Frank? Are you going to want to perhaps drill a little deeper if you have information about where in the strike zone the ball was actually ended up? Because, for example, a guy might be missing his spot a lot, but still be throwing strikes.
Missing? I don't know if I can. It's like you almost have to go by pitch to see where he's wanting to go. And sometimes even when the catcher sets up, isn't for sure where his spot is. I don't know what he's trying to do. I really can't get into the combination of what those two are thinking. So, I mean, I'm trying to get. If you can think of a way to do it,
just wondering whether there's eventually going to be information of that type available to you.
No, I don't think so. I think teams would probably be that way, but the catcher can get back, this guy can't get anything, you know, just kind of get back to the coaches and be like, well, he's trying to get any strikes, or he's kind of in there, but he's just not hitting his spots at all. All right. Back.
Have you seen any connection between strikeout rates and injury? Because strikeout pitchers, they'll be in the game longer because they're successful, but they throw a lot more pitches than, say, contact.
I have not on strikeout rates. Walk rates over 10%, you probably get about a 25% increase of having an injury related to the season, but I have not with high strikeout rates. I do agree with that, and as they mentioned in the injury panel, was that high intensity innings, high leverage type innings, probably have work on it within the week. Won't be too hard to look up, so we'll see what will happen with that. Right back there also.
Yeah, so you were talking about how velocity was definitely tied to injuries in terms of high velocity pitchers. But why do you think the teams keep drafting higher and higher velocity pitchers even though the risk?
They get strikeouts. Those take as long as they can. And there's always going to be the exception they're going to point to. Like, they want Nolan Ryan. They want Justin Verlander. But they may end up with, you know, Strasburg and lose him for a while. They may end up with Mark Carter and lose him for a while. Right here.
What about CC Sabathia? Have you looked at his numbers?
He is not looking good right now. he's still throwing strikes. I just think he's kind of like with the Felix Hernandez bit, where he's just aging and he's going to have to learn how to pitch. I think that's the one thing with a lot of Clemens was the same way. He learned how to pitch a lot more as he got older, go off the corners, different pitches, mixing it up. CeCe might have the issues that Lindsey can have, where he's just not able to throw it past everyone now, and he's just not able to pitch the same way. He's going to have to adjust as he's gotten older here. Right here.
So what would you suggest to guys that are like 18, 19, 20, 21, like college pitching, to say like, don't depend on your fastball because it's going to mess up your arm in the future? What do you tell those kids then, because that's kind of their ticket?
I would say the one thing is, like, if something's hurting, let someone know and know what's going on. But also there's, man, it's tough to watch Chris Sale pitch. I don't know how he puts his arm together. It's just rough. But he's effective, and that's how he's effective. And I think there's sometimes, like, a pitcher to get to throw that hard can't have good motion. They have to be inconsistent to be a good pitcher. They've really got to tweak themselves around. And I think a lot of teams want someone that's, they're just, all those pitchers aren't that way. But it's kind of tough to, you know, don't know what to tell them. Like, do you want a $1 million contract? Well, you may blow out your arm, you know, in a few years, but that's, you know, kind of the price you're going to have to pay to get there. There in the back.
There's been a nice swooping of youth into the league recently, you know, with a lot of young pitchers. Is there any particular pitcher or pitchers that you really like going forward with, you know, staying healthy, good mechanics, etc.?
The three things I found that have the prevention of injuries was their age. The older you get, the more likely you're going to get hurt. The other one was the past injuries. You're hurt previously and so forth. And the other one is, if you have established yourself in the majors, you're able to throw 200 innings, three seasons, your injury risk goes down. Like, you've kind of established that you're able to throw the 200 innings a season and go through it. Kershaw's probably the lowest right now. Young, pitched a long time, no injuries. Like I said, he's probably, I'm trying to think of some other ones. I've run my deal, starting deal projections. I don't know if he's at the top, but if not, he's near. Look it up on the internet, but I don't know what numbers there are. But then there's also Bartolo Colon, which he's like at 60% likely to head on the DL between his age and his past injury history and everything else that's involved with him. Anyone else?
That was very good.
All right. I'll let you out early.